My guest at this time is California Republican Congressman Dan Lundgren, representing the Golden State's 3rd Congressional District. He's also the former Attorney General for the state of California. We want to get his insights, legal and otherwise, on Thursday's Supreme Court decision that upholds, for the most part, the president's health care law. And, sir, thank you very much for being with us.
My pleasure. Thank you.
What did you make of the legal reasoning in the Chief Justice's majority opinion saying that the mandate is unconstitutional on grounds of the Commerce Clause, but gets to stand because of Congress's power to tax?
Well, let me just say, I've been involved with a lot of constitutional questions over the years, even arguing a case before the U.S. Supreme Court when I was AG, California, and this was probably the most disappointing single ruling I'd seen. I remember when I heard his sort of third point, that I felt like I'd been kicked in the stomach, because, of course, the big issue was the individual mandate, the relationship of any of us with our federal government. And he found it to be unconstitutional if it were justified on the Commerce Clause powers. He also found it unconstitutional if it were to be justified under the Necessary and Proper Clause, or the Spending Clause of the Constitution. But then he finds it to be a tax. And, you know, we argued on the floor that it might be considered a tax, but the Democrats said, no, it was not a tax. The president said it was not a tax. They made sure they didn't use the word tax in there. They said it was a penalty, not a tax. You can go back and see the president being interviewed on ABC News and about four or five times specifically saying it is not a tax. He doesn't consider it a tax. No one can get him to say it's a tax. So it's somewhat dismaying that the Chief Justice, I think, strained in this particular situation to find it to be justified as a tax, number one. And number two, it goes against the precedence of the court in the past when they identified what constituted a tax. And thirdly, it appears to expand the taxing authority of the federal government at a time when I think most Americans are concerned about the almost rogue nature of spending and taxes that's taking place in our nation's capital.
Sir, one of the things that critics of the law said for a long time was that if this is constitutional, then Congress has the power to do anything. The Chief Justice, in his opinion, said the Commerce Clause does not allow you to do anything you want. But given what he said about the power to tax, does that mean Congress can still do whatever it wants just through a different means?
Well, I'm sure they're going to spend some clarifying language in future opinions to make sure that that's not the case. But I do think it opens it up. If you look at some of the language in there with respect to the Commerce Clause and the Spending Clause, Necessary and Proper Clause, I think there's pretty good language in there that perhaps limits that. You know, if you look at what the Founding Fathers had in mind, they had the concept that the power to tax is one of the most powerful, robust authorities of a government, and they were somewhat fearful of it, and so they said that a bill to initiate taxes, or a bill to exact taxes, should in fact be initiated in the House of Representatives. And they did that because they thought that the members of the House were closest to the people, because we were elected every 2 years. Now, sometimes the Senate forgets that. They'll take a bill that we've passed that has some tax in it, take everything, or deals with tax law, take everything out after the title, and then put their own bill in. I think that in some ways that does not do justice to the spirit of the law. But nonetheless, the Founding Fathers wanted it, I think, somewhat difficult for us to levy taxes, and wanted those of us in the House to be immediately responsible for it. One of the things that I think is important now is for the American people to understand that their protection against increased taxes is, in fact, the House of Representatives, and they ought to hold members accountable for it, and they also ought to understand that this bill, which I do not think achieves what its title claims to, that is affordable care for the people of America, that this bill sits on the proposition that it is a massive tax on the American people, and that's the only way it could be considered constitutional.
Congressman, last 30 seconds. For those like you who are opposed to this and would like to see it done away with, is this November or bust?
Well, I would say it is November as the opportunity to make a change. When people say, look, why don't you impeach this person or that person, you know, throw their hands up and so forth, they've got to realize the self-correcting mechanism that our Founding Fathers put in the Constitution was called, or is called, elections. And that's we ought to remember what the president said after the last election when he embarked on this effort to pass this bill. He said to our leadership, and therefore to the American people through our leadership, elections have consequences. I won. That ought to be enough for the American people to understand that the way you correct this is through the electoral process. That's the way we've always done it. If you don't change it, frankly, it means either the American people don't want it changed or they didn't invest of their time and effort to ensure that it does get changed.
Congressman, we'll have to leave it there. Thank you very much for your time today.
Thank you.
California Republican Congressman Dan Lundgren, former Attorney General for the state of California. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America, reporting for WorldNet Daily.